You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to visual artist Skinner. My favorite part of his interview was talking about his awesome visitors t-shirt displaying different alien races inspired by the movie Communion. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Hi. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Wee Show. We got a special guest tonight. Please welcome for the first time on the podcast, visual artist Skinner.
Hey, all right. Hey, nice to meet you, Stevie Weeby.
God damn, you gave me the best t-shirt on the face of the planet.
There you go, alien shit.
Oh, God, who the hell was that?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. Hey, dude, it was finally good meeting you.
It's wonderful to meet you. Thank you for inviting
me.
Can
I show off your shirt here, though?
Yeah, please do. I'm
so
glad.
I love your art style. Okay. I didn't mean to jog too hard, but, dude, it's right down my lane.
Okay, like.
Dude, hold up. Look at this beauty.
Yeah.
I mean.
Hell yeah. Look at this. Hey, so. Yeah. What we got going on here?
Yeah,
is
go ahead, break it down.
All the different aliens from the universe, and but these are sort of collectively like from the movie Communion, and from basically also one of my favorite forms of folk art is when people have encounters with supernatural beings, they do drawings of them.
Yeah, yeah. Linda Moulton Howe, in her book, she has a lot of them are like amateur artists.
Totally. Well, it's just people that have never drawn
before.
Yeah,
that's why I like it.
Yeah, so basically the reptile, this is my version of an old folk drawing. And then these are the weird Norwegian ones.
Yeah. A Palladians or the tall
those
whites.
Are the Pleiades.
Yeah.
And then we got the Arcturians over
here.
Yeah.
And
then I threw in, the Blue Doctor, which is very scary.
What about do you have the the praying mantis? There's praying mantis ones too, right, that operate the UFOs and stuff, some of them?
Yeah. Those ones came later, but you got gray.
Yeah.
You got the hybrid gray.
Everything's beautiful, just the whole aesthetic is
great. Then this is the Bohemian Grove owl, which I did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and then, I mean, you're starting off hot, huh?
Well, I just...
We're going to bring up Ronald Reagan?
Well, but the funny thing is that I feel like aliens, for the most part, are kind of not political, but then once you bring in like the Bohemian Grove, it like weirds people out. Because Alex Jones, remember
he snuck into one of those.
He snuck in and he was like yelling and like he was Yeah, that's one of my favorite Alex Jones
videos. Oh, they were worshiping Moloch, right?
Yeah, Moloch,
the owl.
Yeah,
the burning owl.
Yeah.
And then supposedly there was all the government officials and presidents, ex-presidents that used to attend.
Yeah.
And they did blood sacrifices to Moloch. And
usually what I think it is a sort of a elitist hangout. Mm. I don't really think there's a lot of blood sacrifice. I don't know. You know, but the reason is that I brought this stuff is because... I listen because, you know, what I like to do is sort of study people that I'm hanging out with, like if it's a podcast, because I don't want to go into it like being like, I don't know who the fuck you are or what you do.
Right.
So I really like just looked up hot Stevie Weeby clips. And there was a lot of them where you're talking about. Like, I don't know, just sort of...
Well, it's either micropenises or aliens. Choose one.
Yeah.
Choose one.
But, so I was like, oh, okay, I can get into this.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, I researched it, like, my whole life. But.
Well, even your... shout out to my cousin Eddie, by the way.
Yeah, Eddie Lee.
Eddie, FTC OG, back... How did you link up with my cousin?
What happened was, basically, this is, like, a small world, because, essentially... I was in Sacramento. It's hot.
Shout out Sacktown.
Shout out Sacktown.
Losco Projects too, my homie Nathaniel. Yeah, go keep
916.
Yeah.
Shout out my brother-in-law James Harris. He loves you so
okay.
much.
Okay.
So he's
give him
pumped.
Some
James,
love.
James,
yeah,
what's
he's
up?
Here. He's here.
Yeah, and then
he made it to the big leagues.
James, I
made it.
I made it.
You basically made it in Hollywood. You made it on the Stevie Weeby show.
We are
subscribe today to my YouTube channel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, I met your cousin because he was the manager of Upper Playground.
And FTC.
Yeah. And FTC in Sacramento.
Yeah.
And I met him and I said, hey, I want to do our show, you know. And he's like,
oh, yeah, you used to, at that, the upper, you know, like that other level in the back, that artwork.
Mm-hmm,
and stuff.
Yeah. So I did that. But I didn't want to keep having shows in Sacramento because there wasn't a lot of opportunity there. Like, I love Sacramento, but it's just really difficult to be a creative there.
Why,
like,
is that?
It's
the bar scene or something? Or what?
No, it's just, you know what? It's just not metropolitan enough or something. There's no industries there or anything.
Because, like, in LA, every other weekend's an art show, right?
Yeah, art shows, or like, you know, you can design stuff, mm-hmm. or you know, have a show or do murals and stuff. Because when I lived there, now it's covered in murals. But when I lived there, it was like, no murals.
Wait, aren't there graffiti crews out there too? I mean,
oh yeah, there's illegal.
Big in the Bay Area.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Graffiti was huge in Sacramento too.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I met Eddie. He was amazing. He was really sweet. I painted a bunny rabbit skateboard for his girlfriend or something, because I was like, oh, maybe he'll let me have an art show if I paint him, you know.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, hey, I got you a skateboard.
Yeah.
And then I had the show there, and then it kind of just took off from there, because I saw that the, you know, Juxtapose was connected to Upper Playground.
Tell the viewers and listeners what Juxtapose is.
Well, Juxtapose used to be a magazine
that
was highlighting a lot of like blue collar art, or like graffiti, tattoos, skateboards, comics, you know, like just stuff that affects us, and it was not fine art.
And this is pre-internet, correct?
Yeah, this was pre-internet.
This is how you got on, basically.
Oh, this was fully how you got
this
on.
This is fully. This is like a skater getting in Thrasher or something.
Yeah,
back in
it
the
was.
Day.
And
yeah,
it was
yeah.
huge. And I was like, oh, I got to get into this magazine, man. Because
mm-hmm.
if I don't, then I can't quit my job.
Right,
yeah.
right. Now, did you, artists back then, are we talking the 90s here? Or the
no.
2000s?
Oh, God.
No, because.
I know. My mummy skin is looking.
No. You're like, I'm old. That's why, you know me.
How
then,
old are you?
Old.
I'm 44. I'll be 45 this.
40-something, man.
See, you're yeah,
40-something,
but yeah,
man.
But
got a couple years.
You look
on
young.
Me.
You look, and your
thanks,
spirit
man.
Is strong.
It's that reptilian blood.
Yeah, yeah, you
it
got
keeps
it.
You young,
yeah.
man. You know.
Yeah,
that's
reptilian.
Why I identify with the reptilians, man. They visit me, man, and interdimensionally.
Definitely.
You know.
You have interdimensional spirit.
I
in
think.
You.
You think so?
I.
You know
I hope
what?
So.
This is the thing. Going back on the alien tip, you know, for the most part, people are petrified to get abducted.
Yeah.
I invite it. Please abduct me.
Oh.
I want to get abducted.
Why do you want
to
get abducted?
Just to check, experience something else, man. I know
really?
What this plane
yeah,
has
yeah,
to
you're,
offer.
You're
we
like,
know. We're in our 40s, dude. We know what the plane
yeah,
has
but
to offer.
I actually, I would love for aliens to meet you and be like, oh, Stevie's going to be our leader now.
I think maybe I think that maybe on some planet I might be a leader there.
Hey, let me ask you. Let me ask you a question. You're interested in UFO stuff and like, you know, AM Coast to Coast and Art Bell and stuff like that.
We talked about Art Bell and the reason why I like Art Bell because it's something you could just have on the background and you could. I mean, I'm sure you've listened to Art Bell while you're painting or doing art.
Oh yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's something you could just have on the background, but then. It's interesting enough to keep it on and then keep doing a separate thing.
Well, it's great, but like, yeah, if a guest is not good, it kind of very quickly turns into like a long droning story.
Right,
but the thing is that some of the guests, just the subject matter is so creepy and messed up.
Yeah.
That you're, like when the guy who comes on who's like studying the patterns of all the people who have been missing in public parks and stuff. Like
there's some that were there's some episodes that I listened to that scared the wits out of me where it was almost like a horror movie like The Exorcist.
Yeah, it's scary.
The one on the specifically EVP electronic voice phenomenon.
Oh where, yeah, where that's they would terrible.
They would take these recorders in like old cemeteries or old.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Schools, and they would catch, like, real... Uh-huh. Ghost spirits.
Yeah, sounds and shit.
Yeah, of like, they had a kid, man. I don't know if I could, I mean, I don't know if it's, this is YouTube. You know what? It's fine on YouTube. There was a, it was a old, some kind of school where a kid, you could hear water, and then you could hear a kid getting drowned or something.
Oh,
and it was like his last breaths. He's like, help me. Yeah, and then you could hear the water, him getting submerged into the water. So those episodes, I'm like, I'm cool off that.
Yeah,
I'm cool off that.
Yeah, the sounds of children drowning.
Yeah, or drowning or deaths.
Children drowning through like a distorted vocal harmonizer.
Some analog filter.
Like, no, thank you.
I don't know why we're laughing at that.
But let me ask you, are you familiar with MUFON? The community of like it's like
how do you spell it?
MUFON.
Can you write that down?
Yeah.
What is that, an acronym?
I think it is. Yeah, okay. I think it's like for the UFO network. It's the something UFO network, and it's basically it's like UFO enthusiast people meet, and they have their it's like they have their own groups where you can go. And I went to the one in Sacramento.
How much is the fee?
At Denny's. It's free.
So is it like...
It's fully some X-Files like side shit where it's like an X-Files episode about wacky UFO motherfuckers.
What,
and like,
do the dudes look like Jeffrey Dahmer or something?
Dude, it is...
I just want to know what they look like. So, I want to know what I'm working with there.
Well, I'll say it's... Yeah, I mean, you're going to get a variation on Jeffrey Dahmer. I mean, but most white people are a variation of Jeffrey Dahmer. So you're gonna see it, but it's like preppers.
You're keeping it real.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I was raised by them. I'm scared of them.
Yeah,
so I know.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about like a white family,
just people,
like a white middle class family.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Or whatever. So you don't
suburban Dahmer.
You would be cool if you saw like a Nicaraguan dude with glasses in the corner and he's just...
But I think that you would find it, Nicaragua. I
would
pray for
a
Nicaraguan to save me from these people.
So it was all white at a Denny's.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's in Sacramento, and Sacramento has like a diverse demographic. But mm-hmm. for the most part, I find that, you know, people who are really into
conspiracy
stuff, crazy white people, you know.
Yeah, why do you think that is?
You know what? I think that it might have something to do with, I don't know, just like being at the top of a social hierarchy.
Oh, something like that.
Yeah, because this is what my theory is.
You keep talking. I wanted to.
Uh-huh.
Can I grab that while you keep talking? Let me grab that.
My theory is that people develop a lot of philosophies and concepts based on how much time they have.
Yes.
And a lot of times, like my friends in Oakland, like my black friends, like don't seem to have time for a lot of bullshit.
Because they're working.
Yeah, they're doing
they're
something.
They're trying to pay the bills.
Yeah, or something. And yeah, so I'm like, okay.
Blue
you know,
collar, down to earth.
Sure. Or or just like, that's crazy shit. I don't want to know about that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And I've met people like that too. That's like most people probably out there working blue collar jobs.
Right. But
they're working two jobs. They're just trying to, you know,
yeah,
make their ends meet.
But I think you should go to a MUFON meeting.
You know what? I'm open to that. I would go with you.
Oh,
I would not want to go solo.
You'd have to.
I'd be the only Asian dude in there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hey guys, is this where MUFON meets?
Yeah.
Yeah. They
totally.
Would be like, oh, I think you got the wrong meetings.
Let's talk about it. We don't have to talk
about
it. I keep pushing the UFO agenda.
No, I want to.
We'll go back.
We'll go back.
All right.
There's always room
to
go back, but I wanted to really.
Oh, thank you.
You
this
know,
is my beautiful
show your
screen
beautiful
print.
Art,
it's
man.
It's a poster for my film that I'm trying to fund right now. It's called Shrine of Abominations. It is a stop motion fantasy horror film. And it's totally insane, and the Kickstarter is doing good. But
and then you saw it at the beginning of this episode, as we speak.
You saw
that's
the trailer.
What you saw.
You saw the trailer.
Now, man, I love your art style. Like, when did you kind of get this style going?
Well, you know what? I grew up loving comic books, of course, and monster films, and you know, paintings and fantasy stuff. So I just kind of kept going, and it's kind of an amalgamation of like fantasy art and graphic art and comics and like, you know, crappy monster posters from the 60s. And
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
It's sort of psychedelic though, too, a little
right,
bit.
Right,
right. You know?
And
like
then,
that.
So did you, so I'm guessing you grew up with horror movies and later in life, you got into psychedelics. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah. But the thing is that the psychedelics don't really influence my art as much.
Why
as
not?
Well, psychedelics to me influence more like my connectivity to things or my mindset. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel more like psychedelic drugs are more about knowing yourself. And psychedelic art to me is like the slow, it's like years and years and years of doing psychedelics or being or like loving the sort of blissful nature of color.
You know
what I mean?
Now, what about dimensionally as far as have you ever had bad trips?
Dude, I had
I've had some hellish ones.
I smoked DMT and met like I'm
glad you brought that up.
I'm gonna put this beautiful piece down.
For now.
And try to support the Kickstarter if you like, but we're gonna talk about entities now.
Can I have that?
Yeah, that's for you. I brought it, for sure.
Can you sign it at the very end?
Yeah, of course,
end?
Absolutely.
I will frame that.
Okay.
I want to frame that. That belongs in a home.
Standard 24 by 36 inch frame.
So I'm sober, but I don't look down on people who smoke weed or even mess with DMT or, you know, stuff to expand their minds or whatnot. Because I've dabbled in that. Okay. But I have never, DMT came later.
Uh-huh.
Down that path
in
life when I was already sober. So, but can you describe to me what your first experience or what some of your experiences were like?
Oh, well, the DMT one, because I never saw any like specific entities a couple times when I smoked it. I just sort of felt an overall blissful kind of awareness, I guess. But I did smoke some DMT one time, and this entity was like basically revealed itself and was like very aggressively like changing shape in front of me.
You're shape-shifting?
Yeah, and it was moving and it was turning in on itself and it was expanding and contracting and moving, but it was making eye contact with me the whole time. Ooh. And it was basically letting me know that I was abusing the drug. It was like letting
how did, me, now how did you know that?
That like, was the feeling.
Cognitively.
I was like, "Oh, I'm like I'm not honoring the usage of this drug because I'm just doing it kind of for fun and I'm doing it and there's a bunch of noise and the city sounds are around." And
how often were you doing
it? Oh, this was not that much.
Oh, okay, okay. But
you get a little rock like that.
Yeah.
Get yeah. that rock, dude. Oh. No, but I had an art studio and yeah. the guy that was my landlord at the art studio would be like super old school hippie guy, like yeah. like worked at the circus and stuff. And he would be like, "Hey, Skinner, what's going on? Hey, man, I just talked to some guys that make this DMT." And he would like hand it to me. It would be like freshly made, like Whoa. DMT from some like, you know, professor right. from something. And I'm like, "Oh, hell yeah, I'm fitting to smoke this shit."
You put it in a bong or is it?
Yeah,
odor,
you put it in
is
a
it
bong.
Tasteless,
the, no, it has like kind of a weird taste, kind of a tangy kind of a taste. Right. But if you're supposed to take like big hits in
and
succession.
Hold it in, and hold it in.
Yeah, I think hold it in maybe. I don't know. I think I kind of did, but I can't remember because once you hit it and then all
I
of
heard
a sudden.
You, I heard you get blasted into a rocket or something.
Well, you get it depends on the amount. That you
well,
take.
You know, I look at other content like you know Joe Rogan talking about DMT.
Yeah,
and he said that when he smoked it, like you just blast off into outer space. Or...
Well, I think it kind of depends on the way in which you use it too, or like
right.
like because if you take like an insane bong load of anything, you're gonna go off into space.
Right. So do you
salvia?
Yeah. So did these, was it an alien kind
no,
of creature?
Dude, it was like, its head was sort of vaporous, but its body was like angles, like colorful shifting shapes and things happening. And
right.
yeah, I was like, oh man.
What color
fuck.
Was
I mean, I got scolded by a galactic entity
yeah, it was a galactic
for abusing drugs.
What color was it?
Oh,
it?
Every color. Dude.
Oh, so it there's like, colors that you can't, that aren't even here there.
I mean.
Right? I'm just guessing. I'm just.
I think there are colors. I mean, I guess the thing is that if you developed a stronger sensibilities or connected with maybe an extra sensory kind of part of your brain that you could understand that there's another color there, I guess. Yeah.
Because it was just one or was it a group of them?
It was just one and it was in my face.
Was it a female? Did it have a...
Oh,
like,
no, I don't know. It was a they.
It was
a they,
was
them.
They.
It was they.
They.
Yeah, it
was,
yeah. It was
so
they.
It was they. So when you looked at it, it was like a legion, but in one.
It was...
does that
the power of the universe. Oh, yeah, sure.
So it was
yeah.
a one entity, but a legion of different entities in one entity.
It seemed like one, and it was mad at me.
It was mad. Now, did it have horns and stuff?
No. It was like I'm trying to explain. It's like it was moving in such rapid succession, that it was like I couldn't. It wasn't like one or two or three. It was like moving and morphing and changing. But like,
can I do three? Let me try to depict.
Yeah.
What you're saying. I'm going to do three different examples.
Okay,
tell me
this
which,
sounds good.
Tell me which one is the most accurate,
okay.
Right?
Ooh, this one feels good. Yeah.
Okay, so that was my first one.
Okay.
This is the second one.
No, not that one. But that one's kind of scary, too.
Or this one. This is my last one.
Okay.
A, B, this is C.
Okay. No, it was the first one.
Okay.
It was the first one? Because if it was doing that last one, I feel like, oh, I could probably run away from
right,
this.
Right. Have you seen that movie, Jacob's Ladder?
Yeah.
But remember one of the images of the
mm-hmm.
the thing? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That movie really,
that movie
fucked me up.
What's that movie about the doctor who goes into the sleep, the sensory deprivation tank?
Altered states.
Yeah, it was kind of wild.
Oh, God, that's really showing your age.
Is it?
Yeah.
You guys know we.
I remember seeing that in VHS.
Really? Yeah, was on, damn.
Well, dude, we're in our 40s, I man.
Know,
come on.
I know.
We grew up. Before, I mean, now kids, God, they have it so good now, huh? But back then, we had to go to Blockbuster. We had to go to video stores,
dude, going
man.
To Blockbuster was the greatest ritual of all
that
time.
That was the best. Dude, I'm glad you, let's take a walk
dude, it was
memory
fun.
Lane.
I mean, here's the thing.
Well,
is
tell
that,
me what Blockbuster is. A lot of these.
Okay, Blockbuster was the place where you could rent a VHS. Well,
you had to physically go to the place, and you would have to rent the movie on VHS.
Yeah.
And how much was it? About $3.50, like $3-$4.
Dude, and if you returned it late, you
the late fee
you
was a
get
bitch.
A late fee.
You would get a late fee
every day.
Yeah, yeah. So the thing on a Friday, the best thing to do on a Friday is you get three movies for the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember, I'm like, oh, I remember.
Watch them a couple times.
I remember getting. Remember that movie Red Dawn, the original Red Dawn.
Patrick Swayze.
Yeah,
dude. Oh,
man.
Dude, that movie was
that
epic.
Movie, yeah, I remember getting that, and I was just like, that was my Friday night.
Yeah.
But so you kids got it good. Yeah, I guess the algorithm as far as the analytics on this, I don't have many 40-year-olds watching this. It's 25 to 35-year-olds.
Okay, so should we not tell them like how the difference between our
generations
when we
are?
Were dating and then now how they're dating? Because listen, check this out.
I
have one thing to say real quick. One thing really quickly to say.
Yeah.
Is that in Sacramento and like my wife that we've been together for like 20 years now.
Congratulations.
Right? Oh yeah. It's
that's
just cool.
A big deal.
So I would go, oh, I wonder where she's going to be. And then it would be like, I would look in the newspaper to be like, what bands are playing? Oh, she probably likes this. So I would go there. Or I'd be like, oh, she's not here. There's a bar, whatever. Right? You just kind of guess.
Mm.
Nowadays, if you show up to like somewhere where like a girl is that you know or you like or whatever, it's like stalking because you could just see it on their Instagram or something. It's just a different vibe.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like back then I could just be like, I'll just try to have a beer at every place around town, see if she's there. Maybe she will be. I don't know. It'll be cool.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's interesting.
But now it's like, what are you doing here, Ted?
Yeah.
I you saw my Instagram. You knew I would be here. Like
they saw the feed.
You saw my feed.
Yeah.
Go away, Ted.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like there's just differences that I don't know. I think that there was some like pretty fun, like, you know.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free, select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Fumble experiences that we
had.
Well,
it's like you had a man up. You had a man up, and actually, if you wanted to ask a girl to prom or homecoming,
prom.
You couldn't do it on Instagram. You would actually have to. Dude. You would be nervous in like third or fourth period. You'd be like, okay, so I'm going to, I have to do it now. And I have to do it now. And then it was on your mind. And then the bell would ring. And then you would have to man up.
Yeah.
And just sack up.
When the bell
and
rang.
Then walk up. And then, you know, there's other people around. There's consequences. And there's, you could fail. You could fail.
What I used to do is write it in Go-Gurt on the ground. Will you go to the prom with me?
But you did it in a creative way. That's creative.
No, but you know what? But here's one thing. Imagine the cringe that we would have posted. I'm glad that there was no internet when I was before I was even like whatever 26 or whatever, like 25. Like no, there was MySpace, but I wasn't really on there. You know what I mean? But like,
God, imagine
like the what you'd be posting at 18.
Or
17.
How about this? You're a bully in the locker room, and you're getting you're putting on your tidy whities. And then he goes, "Hey Lee," and you turn around, and then he with his iPhone, he takes a picture of your nuts.
Yeah.
And then he goes, "I gotcha." And then next thing you know, the whole school has seen a picture of your nuts.
I think that sexting like is a total problem. Like everybody in the whole school would definitely see your balls and your dick by the time you're out of high school. Everybody sees everybody's balls and dick,
and they would be like, rice dick.
Oh no, there's no way they say that. No, that's fucked up.
What do you mean?
They say that it's like a grain of rice, or is it a racist thing? Explain that to me.
Don't worry about it. Maybe
rice dick.
No, we're talking.
What? Come on.
No, hold up. We're talking hypotheticals.
In theory, it's based
on reality or anything. Yeah. I'm bigger than a piece of rice.
For sure, yeah, bigger.
Do you believe me?
Yeah.
No. Look at me in my eyes, though. You're like looking away.
Well.
Wait, hold up. No, seriously. I'm gonna ask you again. I'm gonna ask you again.
Okay.
Do you believe that my penis is bigger than a piece of rice, Skinner?
I think it's the same as a piece
of rice.
How can
you keep looking that way? Let me ask you.
No, I don't believe it.
No. Because you keep squinting your eyes, looking away. Skinner, seriously. Mm-hmm. Do you think my penis... Hold up. Let me give you a visual.
I think it's like a can of cream corn. How about that? Yeah, that...
Skinner, is it bigger, is it bigger than this?
I sure hope so.
No, I can't work with that.
All right, yes, it's big. Yeah, for sure bigger than that.
No, I want you to really be convincing. Don't just say it.
Your dick is definitely bigger than that, Stevie.
No. I don't believe you. I'm going to ask you one last time.
All right, one last time.
No. Do you think I'm bigger than this?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
But also, I would love you if you weren't. It's fine.
Let's say hypothetically, this was me.
I mean,
no. Can a woman work with this?
For sure, dude.
Really?
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
With this,
because I feel like if that was my dick, I could probably do something with it.
With this,
you got to make some kind of like super small fleshlight thing for that. I don't know. Actually, the friction looks limited.
What do you mean a super small? That you would be like a piece of tissue paper with like dipped in Vaseline or something?
I think like if you just go like...
Dude, don't. Please don't do the lizard. I want to unsee that immediately. Holy smokes.
I think
please never do the lizard tongue in here. Don't do the gecko tongue. Don't ever do that.
It does
here.
Look weird, right?
Yeah.
The tongue is weird. Yeah. I don't have a cool tongue.
Yeah,
it's bad.
Yeah. Don't curl it like that either, please. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Come on.
The tongue's so curlish.
The thing is, it's like, let's say that was somebody, and we'll get off this. I just like bringing that. I mean, this is something I brought
up on
the show.
Dude, I love penis talk. Don't
worry. Oh, you don't? Okay.
I love it.
We have to worry about the YouTube, the flags, though.
Oh,
yeah,
right. Okay.
Yeah. So we could just say, you know what? We'll get off it. We could both work hypothetically. If we had someone, we would make it work.
For sure.
And then on to the next topic is, woo.
Yeah.
The Secret Teachings of All Ages by Manly P. Hall.
Right.
So what's this all about?
So Manly P. Hall like basically pulled together all the like occult teachings and stuff for
Masonic, Hermetic,
Rosicrucian
symbolic philosophy.
And it's really interesting. I'll say this, I'm like really obsessed with lots of things, but I'm not necessarily like, oh man, and then the Illuminati and the thing. You know, I don't go off into the deep end. I just research it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Manly P. Hall actually has an education like temple, like a weird temple in L.A. No, it's it's just a place where you can go listen to people do talks about occult stuff.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's a library. Yeah,
It's a library.
Have you checked it out?
So my intern even knows.
Yes.
I need to get out more.
Oh, you do? You know about this stuff.
Oh, you do?
Wow. So this, I don't know if this is as cool as the large scale book because I like that because it has more art in it, but there is a lot art section in there. But
can I read a little bit of the back?
Yeah.
As far as the description, it says, "This key to the world's esoteric traditions unlocks some of the most fascinating and closely held secrets of myth, religion, and philosophy.
Yeah.
Unraveled in its beauty and completeness, it distills ancient and modern teachings of nearly 600 experts. Compelling themes range from the riddle of the Sphinx and the tenets of the Pythagorean astronomy to the symbolism of the pentagram." Oh, symbolism of the pentagram?
Yeah.
"The significance of the Ark of the Covenant and the design of the American flag." So it really breaks down like things that we kind of overlook, you know, just throughout history. Things just like.
I think there's a lot of subtle things.
Wait, there are. There is art in here.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff in there.
Are you inspired?
Tons. Yeah. I mean, I like.
This is kind of on some Masonic shit too.
Some of it is, but I think that the Masonic, you know, all the Masonic stuff is in a lot of ways is sort of like a, you know, it's like a college. What do they call that? The college kids hanging out in the like Delta, whatever that.
Yeah.
Like a college group. It's like a drinking sorority. It's like a sorority for people of affluence.
No, this is talking about the key to Dante's Divine Comedy. Doesn't Dante also have like different realms of hell dimensions? And
They're all. Am I kind of far off? No,
I'm on.
You're not.
And then I just turned to this random page. But doesn't that look? Can you see that? Doesn't that look a bit like UFO? Kind
of
like.
Yeah, of course.
Didn't that kind
of
look?
It's awesome.
So what? Can you break this diagram down?
Let me see.
Yeah, and describe what it is, the Dante.
The key to Dante's Divine Comedy.
Yeah.
So I guess these are
can you read some of the description of what that is?
There are 22. This is I gotta spice this up.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Please do. Yeah.
There are 22 basic sounds and letters. Three are the first elements: water, air, fire. Fundamentals or mothers. Seven are double letters, and 12 are simple letters. The three fundamental letters have as their basis the balance. At the end of the scale are the virtues, and at the other, the vices, placed in equilibrium by the tongue of the fundamental letters. Mute like the water, WSH, hissing like fire, a reconciliation between them. So the thing is that like a lot of this is like really almost like medieval stuff
too. I love it.
And there's like... Rosicrucian crucifixions. He kind of like pulls a lot of this like occult information from
even like they're going back to hieroglyphics and stuff. Like,
yeah,
what is that?
The Bembine Table of Isis.
What about the Book of the Dead?
Do they have it in here?
Yeah, the Tibetan.
Book of the Dead.
Tibetan Book of the Dead.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is for me is that researching this stuff is cool,
yeah,
but like. You'd need like a scholar to properly like break down
translations,
to properly break down you could talk to somebody and they're like, dude, the Masons are like crazy evil, and then you talk to somebody who's researched it all and
like,
they go,
this is higher knowledge,
it's
or
just
something.
A historic thing,
yeah,
and there it's like it's connected to like some pretty basic social and class hierarchies.
Right.
And,
it's like the rich, it's like the fraternity.
Yeah,
you couldn't get into.
Yeah. Totally.
You know, they had the nice house. And
yeah,
they're,
absolutely.
They're drinking the better wine.
Yeah. And a lot of it is, I think, you know, for me, it's like, it's always like really interesting because with conspiracies, I feel like a lot of times people are trying to look for a meaning in their life or something.
And
or
they,
like,
they dive too deep into
or
it.
Or why is my life messed up?
Yeah.
Or like, why is my life not going well?
Right.
And then they look for an external source of that.
Right.
You know,
right,
but
yeah.
Like for me, like reptilian, like when we are cold, disconnected,
mm-hmm.
and unfeeling, mm-hmm. we're exhibiting reptilian behavior, right?
In a way.
Right. And yeah. so I feel like when they talk about reptiles, reptilian people, I think they're talking about the cold, disconnected parts of our society and the people.
Well,
that,
even
that
the reptilian
there.
Part of our brain too.
They're, right.
That,
yeah.
That's a real
yeah.
thing.
The amygdala.
Yeah,
I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
yeah.
I think that's it. Is it? Is that the one? The amygdala. The reptilian part is the survival part.
I think so. Yeah. The survival. Yeah.
Because just the amygdala. The amygdala. Yeah, the amygdala holds all your traumatic memories so that you can survive.
I was
going
to ask my intern to look that up real quick.
Okay.
But, you know, she's probably, I mean, that's probably a large task. I mean, I don't, that's a pretty big
yeah.
task. She's trying to operate the recorder and the camera. And I'm like, and she's, yeah, it's fine.
But I think that, like, you know, for the most part, people are kind of alienated and atomized in this, like, brutal economic structure. So that I think that people are trying to find different ways of feeling good. And I
well,
think, you know, like believing in stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
do you believe in like an afterlife or do you believe that maybe once we're done with this, I guess this lifespan? I mean, do you believe in reincarnation is what I was trying to ask, like where, you know, we get a because a lot of these alien conspiracies think, you know, we go through this light tunnel or we get, you know, transported to the moon or go through some kind of mechanism. And then they do the memory wipe and then you get kind of and then you get back dropped into
okay.
a different soul, into a different body, a
uh-huh.
different experience. And Buddhists think the same thing as mm-hmm. far as like just, you know, it's a cycle.
Yeah.
It's just a
yeah. Hinduism
concept.
With the,
yeah.
the caste system. And
yeah.
Stuff.
What do you, I mean, because we're
yeah.
I mean, we're both in our 40s. I don't, you know, we'll
yeah.
have to say the exact
we're
age, but
we're,
we can at least
uh-huh.
we can see the finish line.
Well, I
you
think
know?
The thing is that
so,
I was stringently against any kind of like woo-woo, like religious stuff.
No,
like,
no, I'm not into. I'm not
no,
saying
no,
religion.
No, spirituality and stuff. I was stringently did not believe in any of that stuff.
Mm,
but
no religion for
in
me.
In the last couple of years, the amount of I've been like crushingly depressed and nihilistic my whole life, and so in the last like couple of years, but specifically the last 6 months. I've just been in extreme trauma therapy and EMDR and like all this stuff. And
have
and
you seen psychiatrists in the past?
Yeah.
Because
I
recently
go.
Saw. Oh, shout out to Dr. Funk. So I recently.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is what I feel like is my spirituality is connected to healing the things that that have wounded me, and so I'm deeply invested in like. Understanding that like the things that my parents suffered and their burdens was not my fault, and that like I never really I had a really like a kind of an emotionally empty childhood.
Give me an example of some trauma or I mean you don't have to
like
because I was
like,
abused I was physically
yeah,
abused by
me
my
too,
father
yeah long
oh my did so your dad beat your ass
yeah he did but he kind of left and then my mom was had to take care of us and she was very stressed out and did not have access to any support. And in my opinion, most baby boomers are emotionally immature. And so
that's us, right?
No, we're I'm emotionally immature.
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably more emotionally.
Well,
immature.
I think you're getting there. I can say. But I think, but the thing is that the traumas, the deep pains and the deep alienations that we hold in us.
We hold that inside ourselves or something.
Well,
we hold that inside.
Well, it's up in your amygdala. And
so that it's scientific. It really, those
yeah,
things are stored.
Yeah. Like your the amygdala is a part of your brain that was developed in primordial times.
Right.
Now listen,
right, yeah.
Here's the deal. If you're looking, if you're a caveman and you look and you see a tiger in the weeds,
that's going to trigger something.
Well, what's going to happen is you're going to remember that because you're trying to survive in the future. So here's the thing.
Oh, man.
In the future, you're going to see some weeds and they're moving and you're going to be triggered to think there's a tiger there. Because your amygdala does not know how to tell time.
It can't differentiate.
It doesn't know what time it is. Your amygdala thinks
that
you're...
Oh, because time is a man-made. That's a man-made. It's a construct of man.
Well,
you know, this
well,
is the whole concept of time,
the
right?
amygdala as a survival part of your brain is specifically gathering information only to keep you safe.
So it's survival-based.
Yeah, but...
So if there's a threat...
Yeah.
you're going to remember that threat. And anything that reminds you of that threat, that resembles that threat, is you're going to correlate it to back then.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Have you had...
I wasn't expecting to talk about this stuff.
Okay. Well, we don't have to if you don't want to.
No, I want to. I want to.
Have some chew.
Yeah, I
will. So let me have some chew. But let me ask you a question. Like, have you ever had an experience where you had an experience that threw you into the same feeling you had when you were little when your dad was abusing you, or like just flipped a switch in you, and that you were like, it just brought up emotions, you were just like freaked out?
So I could maybe best answer that as far as maybe talking about what kind of emotions. Are you talking about like panic and fear?
Sure.
Yeah.
Like fight or flight, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's your amygdala trying to keep you safe, but your amygdala doesn't know that that person's not your dad.
Right, right.
But it's reminding you that this is a situation similar to what you had with your dad.
And well, it's like, I, you know, I'll tell you this much. I really don't like that feeling.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
It's a trauma reaction. You're deeply traumatized by this.
I'm deeply traumatized.
But listen, let me tell you that you don't have to be that way. And okay, so getting back to I want to talk about
when
this.
When did this turn to? I thought we're talking about your art. Is this turning into like psychotherapy, brother?
No, but listen. But you asked me about do I believe in the afterlife stuff? Mm. And so I'm going to get back to that because that has something to do with this.
Okay, go ahead, Skinner.
So I never believed in any of that stuff until I realized that actually me directly focusing as much resources and time and energy as I can on my healing, going to 12-step programs.
Wait, we got that in common. Huh?
Doing tons of therapy, doing
like tons. I didn't even know about that. Yeah. I mean, I didn't even know that.
Well, it's the spiritual foundation is anonymity, so I'm just going to keep it like that. Oh, cool.
I could tap on it.
I go to a different one.
But it's same principles.
Yeah.
Traditions.
Okay.
Okay. That's so fine.
Yeah. But the thing is that I never believed in any of that shit. But I remember my aunt said a long time ago, and she's a real trippy spiritual person. I can talk about her too. But she said, you know, that people live their lives in a reincarnated fashion until they learn the lessons they're supposed to learn. And then that's when you get to stop and end. And then you,
what happens then you get boosted into the fifth, sixth, seventh dimension.
The DMT entity comes and takes you to hell.
He picks you up in the UFO taxi and then boom.
So getting healing for me has been a very kind of a spiritual thing because I'm like, oh, this is what it's like to feel okay with the universe. This is what it's like to love myself and provide myself with like an experience on earth that isn't just totally horrible with like suicidal ideations, nihilism, like alienation, sadness, and my body felt like shit all the time.
Wait, is it because just the way you felt, like your depression?
Depression and it gets really bad and so I mean I'm feeling good, but like, you know, I had to really, yeah, you know, with, you know, 12-step program and other things, you have to hit rock bottom before you can move forward.
Not only that, it's like you have to take some kind of accountability in as far as your part in everything. Mm-hmm. You can't be pointing the finger at the world and people around
If you point
you.
The finger, you're three fingers pointing back at
exactly.
you.
Exactly. So in that sense, that's good for people like us because it's like you kind of have to look at your side, as they would say, keep your sidewalk, your end of the sidewalk clean.
Keep your side of the sidewalk
side of,
clean.
Exactly, your side of the sidewalk clean. Yeah. So are you saying, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So when do you think, is it kind of like, let's refer to Star Wars or something. It's like.
So I think this might be my last time on Earth.
I think you're right.
Yeah,
you're like,
I think this is
like,
it.
So as far as Star Wars.
If I do it right.
So you're like more like Yoda then, almost close to Yoda.
Oh, I'm like a Yoda. Because
Yoda, you know, he went through it.
Yeah.
And I'm more like, I guess, I'm not a Padawan.
Nah.
But,
I'm more like Chewbacca or something.
No. Let's keep it on the Jedi's. Chewbacca.
Oh, yeah,
Jedi.
I wish he was, though.
I would say maybe young Luke.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Sure, young Luke.
Well, Luke, when he went to the Dagobah system to train.
Not Luke when he was in the volcano on the side of the volcano, like. Ah!
No! I didn't want to bring up that movie. that ethos that doesn't even count for me.
Dude.
Come on, man. Let's keep it. Empire Strikes Back.
Let's keep the real ones. Strikes Back.
Yeah, the real ones. The first three: New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. I'm more like, you know, Luke in the Dagobah trying to figure it out still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how about this? You know how his X-wing got stuck in the swamp?
Yeah.
And so you're more like Yoda, where you're like, oh yeah, it's not the rock. You could just levitate. It's not the size of the object.
Yeah.
And you know internally, no, I could. It's the whole thing. I could lift up.
Yeah.
But I'm more like Luke. Like, I don't know if that's possible. Mm. Where I thought these other things I need to be working on is what I need to be working on, but.
Well, I feel well, like
you're
I'm
the overall bigger picture.
Well, I think so, but I still feel like maybe I'm more like where you're at.
No, I'm give not yourself
the,
a little bit more
I'm not
credit.
At the Yoda. Well, I mean, I'm feeling good. This is the first time in 40 years, in the last
dude,
6 months, I haven't been super depressed. So,
yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Well,
I'm a newbie, I think.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I mean, it's hard to talk about it, but I had to go see a psychiatrist because I couldn't even get out of bed. Like,
yeah.
I was really going through it, man.
Yeah.
And it was literally weighing on me. I'm like, I don't want to get up. I lost weight. I didn't want to eat. All that.
You were depressed.
Yeah, but then I saw, you know, I'm not saying, look, it's already kind of like on both ends of the spectrum as far as like getting on meds. Look, it's helped me.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Me too.
But I'm
on
thing.
Prozac. I take
yeah,
Prozac.
Yeah, yeah,
well,
yeah. I'm on Lexapro.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And the thing is, I kind of feel the same, but it helps me a little bit. It hasn't like drastically changed anything.
Yeah,
it just makes it easier for me to at least do like my day to day tasks without like wanting to, you know.
Are you still seeing therapists?
Yeah, I need to make another appointment with him, and I go to Arizona for that because it's cheaper than California. So I found a good guy out there.
Okay, so you fly to Arizona.
Well, you zoom it. No, you can.
Okay.
I'd rather see the guy though. Yeah. I mean, I can zoom it, but.
Do you have what's your social activities like? Do you like hang out with people a lot and stay connected to people? And
yeah,
friends?
Well, I'm kind of forced to because of the 12-step program I'm a part of.
Yeah, yeah.
And I look forward to that because
it's
it gets
cool.
me out of myself where I'm like,
yeah.
But this is the thing. A lot of my own problems are just self-created in my head.
Oh yeah, we create our own problems.
We create our own
a lot
problems.
Of problems aren't even problems.
Exactly, they're not even real problems. We create these.
Our brain takes us for a little ride.
Not only a ride, but I mean, I have novels. I have my own chapters and books and
you know what
in
that
my
is?
Head
is
where,
creating ideas and building stories. Like there's like anticipating the worst. But, you know, that's also survival mechanism stuff, like building those stories because it's like your brain is going into overdrive trying to figure out how to protect you. And it's like, are these people trustworthy? Is this like this? Is this like that?
Well, why is it so I convince myself no, this person is doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're telling this person that, you know, yeah, and yeah. I come up with this whole,
yeah,
like, map,
uh-huh,
of, like, yeah, connecting the dots.
The Charlie Day map. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I could do a whole screenplay on,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't, I think that that's a, that's, yeah, like, that's, like, kind of a paranoia that comes from being wounded. And I think that, like, yeah, I think that the thing is that you have to give yourself permission not to build that reality if you don't think it's, if it's not benefiting you.
It's not. It's not. It's definitely not. If anything, it's like, oh, do I have to sharpen, yeah, some knives, uh-huh, in here?
Yeah,
or
I know.
Do I need to, you know, I don't want to go that route.
Well, here's,
because a lot of people, yeah, a lot of humans, like, even in the prison systems.
Yeah.
It's that, you know. They made that window where you could go A or B.
They
chose the wrong one.
There's a few little mantras that I keep as, like, you know, like, judgment can't really exist where, like, love can't exist if you're being judgmental.
Yeah.
And you can't be curious if you're being critical. Huh. So it's like, is this true? And also, here's the other thing, is that if you don't ask people about thoughts that you have, or if you don't ask them, like,
hey, did you do this?
Or? Yeah, you're not giving them the chance to be a good guy. You're not giving them the chance to tell you that you were wrong about the paranoia.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then, because a lot of people, I imagine, want that chance.
But the thing is, sometimes we convince ourselves to the point where we're not allowing them to even have that opportunity.
Yeah. So,
and that's not fair.
No, not to them. And to yourself, not at all.
Because you know what? 99% of the time, the stuff I come up with,
yeah,
it ain't true.
I know.
It's not even true.
No, because your brain is doing its little magic dance.
Fairy dust.
You're going Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah, oh,
your brain is trying to lift the fucking airplane, yeah, the ship out, yeah, of the swamp. You're like, no.
Oh, I'm trying to do Millennium Falcon shit. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But the thing is, there's certain things that aren't good for my mental health. Like, I can't go on certain forums. I don't go on Reddit or
no.
I don't do any of that
best
stuff.
Best not to.
Yeah.
That's for other people.
Yeah. I already have my own Reddit. I have my own Reddit forums in here.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need to read something about me.
There's lots of people and they're typing away.
Oh, but if it's about me, yeah, and it's like, oh, that doesn't serve me. Eat bad or good.
Well, bad or good.
Bad or good.
Bad or good, it almost doesn't have anything to do with you anyways.
No.
Because the only time that people are really trying to see you and receive you is if they're being curious and not critical. So, like,
say that again. That's interesting.
The only time that people are really trying to receive you and understand who you are is if they're being curious and not critical. So, like, that's the only time that people are really trying to understand, like, where you're coming from for real. Because have you ever noticed that when you, like, talk to somebody and, like, they're just like, oh, I really like, you know, they'll tell you something about the way you do something, the way you live your life, if it's your humor or
like an observation.
Observation.
Okay.
And you're like, oh, wow, you like noticed me kind of for real. You know what I mean? Instead of people just being like, whatever, man, cool. Yeah, I don't care. You know, and they're not. But like people who pay attention and are present. And a lot of times people on forums just are there so that they can have their feelings heard or their thoughts heard. It's for them. It's not even about you. It's and also the projections that people create about others is insane. Like they don't know you. They don't know me. They don't know anybody.
You know what's crazy? Because I have so many hours documented podcasting.
Uh-huh.
And even after all this, I put out there in the world, they still don't know who I really am.
No, of course not.
They don't really know me.
I don't imagine that
But the thing is, I only show them what I want to show them as well, though.
Well,
I mean, because in a way, I'm like kind of safeguarding myself.
You're protecting yourself.
I'm protecting myself too.
This is the performance industrial complex that we have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, an hour flew by.
Is it an hour? I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. No.
Well, hey, you know
sorry.
What I can say about Star Wars is that I assisted Phil Tippett, the guy who did all the stop motion on Star Wars. I assisted him on Mad God, his movie, and then he directed some of the live action scenes of my film.
That's dope.
So
can we talk about?
Is that cool? That's
cool. Yeah. Can we talk about?
He's so grumpy.
I want to talk. Go back to your art. Yeah, I really want to showcase.
But
this
I also, before we do that, I want to say, if you ever want to just talk as friends outside of podcasts, I'm here for you. I care about you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And shout out to my cousin Eddie too.
Eddie Lee.
Yeah.
You did it, bud.
We love Eddie.
I love Eddie. He's sweet. He has a really beautiful smile. Oh, do you notice how it like lights up the room?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Are you okay? Are you uncomfortable?
Yeah, no, that was
I love you, buddy.
I love you too,
I'm sorry.
Brother. That was a lot of psychotherapy. I thought we were going to talk goblins. I thought we were going to be talking about ghosts and goblins
Everybody
and aliens.
Everybody thinks they're going to talk about goblins,
goblins
they
and
never
ghosts
do.
And reptilians, but we went deep into psychotherapy, trauma, all this stuff, which is cool.
It's important to
It's
me.
Important. Yeah. Can we talk about how people could support your art.
The
best way. How could someone support Skinner's art the best way possible, my friend?
The best way, I would say, is to contribute to the Kickstarter if you feel like it. I would love that. There's lots of, like, there's cool shirts. There's cool toys. There's prints. There's Blu-rays, DVDs, all this stuff. And the movie will be 30 to 40 minutes. I am in negotiations with Screenbox, a streaming service, to lengthen it to 80 minutes for a full-length film. So I'm trying to do that. But I still have to get over this $80,000 hump to get the film finished.
Right, right, right.
And so you can support that Shrine of Abomination on Kickstarter. I also sell, like, prints and shirts and weird stuff on my web store, which you
can plug that. Go ahead.
Yeah, baymerch.com, and then just click on the Skinner part.
When are you gonna re-up on them hoodies that I like? The reptilian hoodie. I like.
I need to.
Yeah, when are you gonna re-up? When are you gonna re-up on those?
I know, dude. I really do. I want to do more alien UFO stuff,
man.
But I always get afraid. I will say, I get afraid that people are going to start to think that I'm like crazy.
That you lost your marble.
Yeah, because it's hard. Because, the thing is like, you know, it is hard. Like, I used to be like, I used to think that career suicide was fun and funny. Because I was like, whatever, fuck it. But now I'm like, I care about everything so deeply because I'm healthy that I'm like, I don't want people to think I'm crazy now because I used to not care because I was like, this is all part of my self-annihilation stupidity trip that I'm on. This rocks. But now I'm like, no, I care about it all.
Your Instagram as well, Skinner?
The Art of Skinner on Instagram. And I just got back on Twitter like a scumbag, and I'm ripping it hard
It hard, dude. Go follow Skinner.
At Skinner.
One last thing. Three kind of pieces of advice you could give to up-and-coming aspiring artists. How does one get this good at art?
Three pieces. Okay, so I would say that developing an ultra, a solid discipline or practice. So you are going to not be as good as you want to be for a long time. And you have to be patient with yourself. And you have to appreciate that those moments of imperfection and when you're not good are actually a totally important and beautiful part of your story. So you have to go with it. It's like the Rocky Balboa montage, you know what I mean? That's it, except for it's years long, you know? And then two, I would say, don't get discouraged by the idea that maybe the art and the creativity that you're doing is in any way not being, absorbed or validated by capitalism, because it does everything it can to strip the spirit out of stuff. So the more that you protect yourself in this world and stay true to your own personal creative rhythm, the better. Mm-hmm. And then the third one is, only you will know when you're phoning it in. And I would recommend that you don't.
What do you mean by that? Phoning
like it just like cutting corners
on your art. Or like
yeah. Your art.
But there's
like
no shortcuts to art though.
No, like, you know, in your heart, like, and you know too, you're a musician,
so you know when
you bullshit, you know when your phone not doing going 100%,
right?
You know, and it's like if it's you're cutting corners on the amount of time you're supposed to be investing in yourself, if you're cutting corners on, like, you know, like just lots of things. Oh, yeah, you got to invest in yourself, yo, big dog.
Yeah, I know.
I can already tell that I'm going to leave here and you're going to be like, God damn, no, what the fuck was my album? What the fuck was that?
I have to restart my whole album because of you, Skinner. Fuck you, man.
You got to have an A and B side.
No, I only have three songs done. I'm happy with the three I have done already.
Dude, I'm really impressed by the sweet soulfulness of your playing, though. That was really cool.
Well, I play the same types of
you have. I can already tell you have like a really powerful like sensitivity in you and like a soulful creativity.
Oh, as far as my art too, I take it seriously.
Well, that's what you needed to do to survive. I think yeah, that that's, you know,
I'm not doing it for a commercial success by any means. I'm almost 50. Obviously,
damn, 50.
All right, dude, you don't have to say it like that.
You know what's crazy?
Dude, I thought we were in the 40 club, brother.
Can I just tell you something?
Do I got to bring the teeth back?
No, but one of my...
Oh, my God, brother.
I do this boot camp.
Oh, God.
I go work out this boot camp, yeah. And there's this wonderful woman named Sharon, and she's Asian, and she said to me, I said, oh, I'm feeling old. She's all, white people age like milk, bad milk or something. She said something crazy like that. I was like, God damn. She's like, white people age like milk? Like, what the fuck?
And then we'll end it with...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
That was awesome. It's true.
I'm just kidding, man.
God damn, I need some lotion.
Hey, my girlfriend's white.
That's cool, man. Hey, good job, man. Yeah. Get that milk, buddy. Yeah. Get that milk.
I got that fresh milk.
Congratulations.
Baby. I got that fresh milk, baby. The milk that keeps on giving, baby. Yeah. That vitamin D, baby. God. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. If you want to help support the podcast, go to patreon.com/StevieWeeby. I do a bonus audio diary log every week. Also, check Scissor Bros out with me and my buddy Jeremiah Watkins. We'll be in Houston, Texas for the Riot Comedy Festival March 24th, okay? We might already be there by the time this comes out, okay? Yeah. And then, StevieWeebyBandcamp.com, still working on my album, so be patient with that. As Skinner said, I can't cut corners. Yeah. That's why I'm taking so... That's the thing. Before, I would just rush it, but now I'm like, I'm going to step... You know, like, I'm sure it is with painting. Like, you'll paint a certain thing, you'll be like, you know what? I don't have to finish it tonight.
Right.
Let me sleep on it, and then the next day, you might have a whole different thing that... You didn't get the other day.
You got to step away.
Yeah,
bit,
you step away. Then you step back and go, whoa, I wouldn't have thought of this new chorus or thing, structure thing that I would have implemented within the song.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why. I mean, it's all relative, I think, as far as painting, art, music, and all that. So
I concur.
Just be patient with me, guys. I'm working on it. Okay. Go to, if you want to send any packages or mail or anything, I have a P.O. box. Send all your stuff to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. box 1391, L.A., California 90093. Dude, it was an honor having you,
Of course.
Hell
Thank
yeah.
you.
Hey, dude, the best of luck to your new project.
Thanks.
Support that. GoFundMe today. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get to his
I'm trying goal. To get there. I'm getting close. We gotta yeah. get there.
I want
to
do it
the
like
more a, money, the better it will be.
All right, I'm gonna do it like I'm gonna try to do a goblin, like the middle goblin.
Okay.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.